If you have not been listening to the latest EPP bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online, you don't know what you're missing.
It was so real to me. I could smell him. He was there. And I woke up and it was like he had just left.
GhostPodcast.com is where you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to get exclusive access to our once a week bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
I felt heavy and freaked out. Someone was most definitely watching me.
Complete with exclusive content only for EPP members.
They thought they were mistaken. The house wasn't there. They got out of the truck and stood looking at a large, unattended hayfield.
EPP bonus video only for EPP members.
And I'm like, what kind of sign are you looking for if that's not a sign?
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or sign up through Patreon. The link is at ghostpodcast.com. I wanted to hear the answer to, did they find bodies underneath the building?
I did too. I was just sure she was going to say, and then they found bodies.
If you want to hear the best ghost stories we have, along with our regular funny and non-judgmental commentary, become an EPP.
This is a pond created by a giant off rock of the United States. I'm going to guess the translation there is.
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for an entire year. Get 1 month free out of that and a bonus bunk bed bell, so you can ring along at home. Keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive and be part of our exclusive EPP community. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a woman's tendency to sleepwalk takes a turn to the paranormal. Could an antique Ouija board hold spirits conjured up long ago? And does a deceased loved one have a strong opinion on the interior design of another's home? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802. Email us, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Your audio file, if you want to record it on your smart device, I'll take it that way. Be sure to be a part of our Facebook group if you're not part of that yet. And you probably already liked us, but as Facebook likes to constantly move the goalposts, you can decide to become part of that and be part of the group. Next week, they'll call it something else, and you'll have to sign up for that, too. In their never-ending quest to make everyone in the world completely unhappy. here you go. Check it out. Real Ghost Stories Online group. Search for that. Do you agree with me on that, Carol?
God, I so agree with you. I have a group myself that today I messaged my group and they had some new thing. I didn't even know what the hell it meant. I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do.
I know.
What, Facebook? What?
If I were to look at one thing in the last 10 years that's destroying the world the most, whether it be like carbon gases or Facebook, I think Facebook might win. Quite honestly.
Oh, I would go a little farther. Facebook and YouTube is really mean too.
Yeah.
And Twitter. Because it's like you have that, like anybody could post on Facebook about how horrible you or I are.
Sure.
And they say these horribly mean things. And then you read them and you're like, but I'm a really nice person.
I know.
Yeah. For a coffee, you'd probably like me. But it's just so weird. They just jump to weird conclusions and get mean right away. And yeah. So the whole thing has just... it's brought people closer together. I like that. But it's brought this mean side out of people. And it's just, I don't know.
What I will say about our group and our Facebook page in general, and just this audience in general, quite honestly, I think comparing it to all of the years that I've worked in radio, and you're at a great station. There's a lot of great people there in terms of radio listeners. That in talking radio station you're at, station I was at, one of the friendliest audiences that there is. But in terms of all that, I have not met a more loyal audience than with this show and how friendly they are. Very rare do I ever get much negativity out of it. For the sheer size of the audience, that's what I'm shocked by. Because I would think just by the amount of people that listen to this show every single day, which we get downloaded around 60 to 100,000 times a day, you would think there'd be more negativity, but there's not. And that's what I really like about it. But what's neat about it is people are here because they want to be here. And I think that's what kind of makes a difference.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it like that, because I did like look at the Facebook page and Facebook group, but not too deep, because I'm like, somebody's going to say something mean about me because they think I don't like Jen or something.
Sure.
Or like Carol's come in and kick Jen out.
Yeah, they don't understand what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not like that. But I was really pleasantly surprised. I will say that.
Yeah, very, very.
There's nothing worse than having like a YouTube video go viral yeah. to get people to say some really mean things about you.
Yeah.
And I've had a couple that I've had that happen a few times. And I'm like, man, you can make a girl feel really bad about herself really fast.
Yeah, it's shocking. I mean, it's one of those things. It used to be like relegated to message boards back when that was the thing. But now that doesn't really exist. Now message boards are essentially Facebook and YouTube and wherever anybody wants to communicate. And what you were saying earlier about people, you know, Facebook bringing people close together. Yeah, I agree to a certain extent. I was thinking of that the other day because I really am like questioning whether I even want to do the personal end of Facebook anymore other than outside of the show. And I'm like, yeah, it does make you more aware of other people. But you know what? Without that, I don't know that I would have continued communicating with a lot of these people anyhow. So it's like, I don't know that I need to know that they went to go see a Slayer concert a couple weeks ago. Or it kind of makes me more judgy sometimes where I'm like, I don't want to be judging you. I'd rather just maybe hear from you every 10 years and we go and get a beer and I don't know every aspect of your life and the stupid things you've done because I'm sitting there judging myself and I don't want to do that, you know, and I'm not like posting negative comments, but it's just, I don't know. I'd be happy if that was not part of my life.
Well, you do have an option there.
I know. And I really should choose the good part of it where I'm like, I'm done. I'm just done.
There's a lot of things I do like about it, though.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I just think it's a monster in a way, too.
It is.
It does allow people to come together. Like, you can create this whole Real Ghost Stories Online community.
Yeah.
To where they can talk to each other. And I think that's a really cool thing.
That I love. And that's the part, like, I like being a part of. It's the having to interact with people that are part of my life outside of the show that I don't like. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? It's like, well, the people that were actually friends or family members, I'm like, yeah. Like, I'm just good with these people over here. Maybe that's the wrong way of looking at it.
I frequently think, well, at least my mom ain't on Facebook. Because she'd be like, what?
Yeah.
You went there? You didn't even ask me? No, I didn't.
Oh, I get that sometimes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to our first letter of the day. It says, hi, my name's Lisa. I'm writing from Central Florida. I have more of the questions for you guys involving Ouija boards than a story, but here it goes. In my personal opinion, I don't believe in Ouija boards. It's something that there's something to be messed with. I don't like anything about it and don't want anything to do with it. But here's a story. A couple of months ago, my husband and I invited an old friend of ours over. We've been trying to get together for a while, and finally our friend said he would come by for a bonfire and some beers. Got the bonfire lit. Our friend Matt shows up with another guy with him. Guy was apparently a good friend of Matt's, so we welcomed him into our home. Within 5 minutes, this guy being there, I realized I didn't like him. He was rude, inappropriate, defensive, and belittling. He was not someone I would generally allow in our home, especially having two small young boys who are 3 and 5 years old. Being nice and perhaps too dumb to say no, we let the guy stay, and things got worse. The man was extremely jumpy. Every time one of our kids tried to talk to him, he'd jump a mile, freaked out, and asked us to take our kids away because they freaked him out. It was so bad that him being scared for my 3-year-old made my 3-year-old terrified and caused him to cry inconsolably. We got the kids to bed and the evening moved on. Upon talking to this man, he repeatedly brought up the fact that he had a Ouija board that he needed to burn, but he couldn't have bonfires where he lived. He kept saying his grandma said he needed to get rid of it. We at first just ignored him or blew it off, but then I started to think maybe it was a cry for help. Once he brought it up for about the 10th time, I told him that I believed no one should mess with the board, and if he needed to burn it, then we'd be there for him to help him obliterate it. He jumped on the opportunity instantly and asked Matt to take him home to get the board. They left and came back with the board. I was then somewhat upset to be remotely near the board, but I stuck to my word and told him to go for it and burn it. He stood by the bonfire telling us that this board was given to him by an uncle who used it for years, and it was very, very old with a long history, and he doesn't want to get rid of it. He told us without any detail that it was extremely bad, and he watched it on numerous occasions destroy the lives of his friends and family. We told him then, obviously, to ditch it. He stood by the fire, hugged the board tightly, and actually started crying and rocking it, which made it even more real to us. My husband talked to him and told him to be strong and to let it go. He had to help almost force the guy to throw the board in the fire. The guy before it was repeatedly telling us not to look at it or watch it while it was burning. He said that we can't. It's the rules to not look, or it would be bad. Once the board hit the fire, the guy stared at it for about 3 seconds, then jumped in the fire to retrieve it. My husband had to pull him out. He flopped on a chair, and he froze, staring intently at it while it burned. We had music playing, and when the flames started to envelop the board, the music went static and didn't come back until the board was fully engulfed. I looked at the board when it was first starting to burn, and then turned my back and said a couple Hail Marys and just wanted it gone. It was an intense few minutes with a man's dramatic reaction, the static and overall atmosphere. Once it burned, the guy was comforted and cheered up and cheered us for letting him let it go. He just kept repeating that he only did it because Grandma said to, but he didn't want to, even though so many horrible things happened because of it. Anyway, since then it's been on my mind. I'm sad that the board was brought to our home and perhaps paranoid. There are some days when I'm in our yard and I look at the fire pit now and think of that moment and get so covered in goosebumps I have to walk away. I've heard you guys mention to bury the board before trying to burn it, and I wanted to know the reasoning for this. I decided to do some Google research, but there's just too much online for a definite answer. I also want to be reassured that nothing can come from it being burned at our home, especially when having vulnerable little children here. So I'd like to hear what you have to say. Thanks for listening. Love your show so much. I'm pleased to have a place to go talk about this, and thank you. Well, I guess my reaction is going to be probably no more concrete than what you're going to find on Google. Quite often we hear recommendations, not my recommendations or Carol's recommendations or Jen's recommendations or anyone's recommendations, just from what we've heard from, you know, if you're talking in a religious sense or anything, where they'll usually say bury it, something of that nature. There's the belief, the thought process that if you burn something, it can release whatever is in it and then it can go somewhere else. So was it the best idea? It depends what your belief system is. If nothing else has happened, you seem pretty safe, pretty, you know, calm after this. I'd say maybe the chapter's closed. I would hope that the chapter is closed for you. Have you ever been in any sort of situations of a strange person showing up at a bonfire where they wanted to burn their Ouija board, Carol?
No. Like, what was the subject line on that email? House guest from hell.
I don't even know.
He's like, could you have had a worse house guest?
Yeah.
Like, all of that, he's mean and making your kids cry. And then he's like, hey, I got a Ouija board I need to get rid of. So they were much more generous than I would even consider being.
Sure.
I'd be like, hell no.
What's the
you go burn that board someplace else.
This could be a fun conversation. What's the worst random house guest that you've ever had that you didn't have control of showing up at your house?
Oh, that's, I'd have to think about that. I've had a few.
The only one.
I had a guy I used to date, and he would break into my house, and then I would come in after work, and he'd be sitting in my living room. I'm like, what are you doing in my house? And he's like, I'm just waiting for you to get here, honey. I'm like, oh, you're creepy. That is not the guy you want to date, the guy who breaks in your house, waiting for you to get home.
Yeah, that's not usually on the list of, hey, that's really romantic. Did you go through the kitchen window this time? Or
there's one night I got home and I was with some friends, and and they dropped me off, and I saw him. He was hiding behind a tree. And the funny thing is now, I would be calling the cops. But then I was like, Larry, his name literally was Larry. I'm like, Larry, we see you. It's time for you to leave. Just go. You're not coming in. And like, I would be freaked out now. But at that point, I'm like, hey, Larry, go on home. We'll see you later.
That's probably Larry. Creepy and disturbing. I mean, it's you know, we look back at it and laugh, but oh my God.
I hadn't thought about Larry for a long time.
Yeah, that would be uncomfortable, to say the least. I remember we had a get together, and this was in Wichita, and it was probably 6-7 years ago. We were doing karaoke in our basement, and this was at the last house I was at, and some friends of ours, who we actually worked with at the radio station, he did a lot of remote stuff with us, a part-timer. He and his girlfriend at the time had stopped over, and they brought a friend with them. And this friend, it made Jen insanely uncomfortable because she, I will say it like this, and this is the way Jen describes it, and it's completely accurate. She got up and did her best version of White Trash Shania karaoke. And to the T of like what that song would have been, like if you could take the character for the music video, if you wanted a character, this would have been it. And she just sat there the whole time trying to flirt with me. And I'm sitting there like with Jen. And it's like, this is my house. This is my wife. And my daughter's room's right over there. And she's just like, but like it was oblivious. And she just sat there the whole time. And it was just like such the trashiest thing in the world. And I was amused by it, and Jen was like having nothing of it. I'm like, I'm not going to do anything. This is just kind of funny. Like, I'm not like flirting back, but it was just, it was like, what the hell? Like, what is going through someone's mind that this is appropriate, you know?
Well, you did win compared to that woman's letter with that house guest.
Yeah.
Like, come on, she wins for worst house guest.
That was pretty bad. Yeah, but it was just so funny because it was very trashy to begin with, the way that she was acting. But then she literally went up and did, just like the Carrie Underwood song, the White Trash version of Shania karaoke. And it was like, Jen just looked at me like, oh my God. And I'm like, hey, you can't make this shit up. Like, this will be a story someday. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost story with us. Let's go to Isaac. He says, I'm writing today because my friend showed me your podcast, specifically the episode where she talked about my girlfriend being possessed by something. She left out some details because she said she'd been cut off previously and was trying to tell the story before the machine cut her off again. So she just told the big event, not anything leading up to it or why. I was awake so late that night. I've been dating Tori for about 2 years now. In the night that the story our friend submitted happened, we'd only been together for about 8 months, maybe 9. Tori told me right off the bat that she attracted things that couldn't be explained away normally, and if I wanted to be involved with her, I'd have to essentially deal with it. Before I started dating Tori, I was a skeptic, but I'll never identify myself as such again after being with her. That night, Tori had been acting a bit strange all night. It wasn't all that unusual, because sometimes when Tori could sense things or see things that were around that we couldn't, she'd space out and seem to not be listening, stare off into the distance, and sometimes her moods would change entirely depending on what exactly was around at that time. She was spacey, but when we went up to bed, she seemed almost normal again. I was supposed to be off the next day, and when I'm off, I like to go downstairs and watch Netflix, play video games, and sometimes I'll work on laundry, especially if I know that Tori doesn't have clothes clean for work the next day. But for whatever reason, something was telling me to stay with her. The only time I got out of bed was to go downstairs and turn off the lights I left on in the kitchen and living room. I was playing around on Facebook or Candy Crush or whatever insane games I had at the time when everything happened. There's a detail that was left out in this call, and it was this. Before I got her in bed, before I got her to calm down and to go back to sleep, Tori pulled me down on top of her before she started thrashing and screaming, begging me to make it leave and get out of her. I had no idea what to do because this was the worst and scariest thing I'd ever confronted with her. She calmed down. I covered her up, sat up while she went back to bed. Tori sleepwalks to this day. And to answer the question, it's incredibly difficult to get a good night's sleep when I know I could wake up and my girlfriend could be on the couch, by the front door, or even not anywhere in the apartment when I wake up. There are times where, as we're falling asleep, she goes to adjust. It scares me so badly that I'll roll back over and make sure she's not trying to get out of bed. Most recently, there was a time where I wasn't able to sleep with her because we had a friend staying the night who stayed in our room. And while I slept in the living room, I know it's weird, but this friend insisted that they couldn't sleep on the floor or the couch, so I reluctantly agreed to sleep in the living room on the couch. I had to be up early the next morning for work, and when my first alarm went off, I set a few more and decided I could afford to sleep in for another half hour or so when Terry came stumbling out of the bedroom and to the front door. If anyone has ever dealt with a sleepwalker, you know the number one rule. Do not wake them under any circumstances. Instead, you lead them back to bed and try to make sure they don't hurt themselves on the walk back to bed. So that's what I did. But as we got closer to our room, and the friend still sleeping in bed, she seemed to put up more of a fight, not wanting to go back to bed with them in there. I got into our room and tried to lay her down, but she broke free and started screaming in a language I've never heard before that I'm convinced no human speaks before trying to run back to the front door. I grabbed her again and she struggled, but when she finally calmed down, I led her to the couch where she curled back up and fell back asleep almost immediately. I have no idea if something is attached to my girlfriend or if things just like playing with her because they know that she's extremely sensitive to their presence. Either way, I'd like them to stop and leave her alone. Thanks for reading. I don't know if it's necessarily asking for advice because I don't know that I have any advice to give in such a situation like that. I feel for the person. What are your thoughts?
I don't know, because sometimes things like that could be night terrors.
Yeah.
And I mean, not saying that's what she has. I have no idea. But I know I've had night terrors. A lot of people have had night terrors. And it is like horrifying when it's happening. But to be the person on the other side of it, you know, especially with a sleepwalker in your house, that's freaky when you encounter a sleepwalker. Because they're like a zombie land. And, you know, so I don't know. You know, and I don't know if you go to, what do you do? Do you go to a doctor? Can they help you?
I mean, I'm sure there's like sleeping medications and stuff that you can get on.
But Ambien does that same crap to you.
Exactly. I mean, I do not know, obviously, I'm not a doctor, but I don't know if there's anything that can be done where it stops or slows the parts of the brain that would then make you get up. You know, 'cause that's essentially what sleepwalking is the part of the brain that should be not physically active becomes active while the other part is still sleeping. And I don't know if there's something that can be controlled that way. I would think, I don't know. But this, I mean, I don't know. This almost sounds like it is more than just sleepwalking, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess.
What a horrible feeling too. What do you do to help that person?
It's a very helpless feeling, I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's a lot of horrible jokes I can make right now about like, well, maybe you should read the profile a little bit better when it talks about the demonic sleepwalking. That may not be a good match when you're going through eHarmony. And it's like, are you cool with demonic sleepwalkers? Maybe, you know, you should answer a very strict no, not like, well, parts of the time, I'm kidding. But, you know, that's the thing. It's
well, you know, I told you this story before. My friend Lynn and I, when we went on vacation together, it's the first time I'd ever traveled with her. Her and I are really good friends. Mm-hmm. And we were going on a cruise and we stayed in Miami the first night. And she's like, oh, by the way, I have night terrors. And I'm like, what does that mean? Oh, like I was in Chicago and apparently I was pounding on the wall. Like, okay. So we're in this room and we've got two, they're small beds, not twin size, but maybe full size beds. So all night long, I'm just convinced she's going to wake up, start pounding on the wall.
Uh-huh.
She didn't do it. We get on the cruise ship. Nothing happens for a few nights. And then one night, I had gone out with some other people and she'd gone to bed and I'm a little drunk. And so I get back to the room and, you know, in a cruise ship, the rooms are small, but, you know, like her bed faces one way, mine is the other way. So we're not like right next to each other. But I heard her kind of making some weird sounds, and then she just screams like blood curdling. She screamed help. And I was like, what the hell was that? And I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, what? I'm like, do you need anything? No, I'm fine. So I'm like, my heart's just racing. I get back in my bed, and then I hear in the hallway somebody going, it came from right here.
They're going to think you're murdering her if they come in.
I know. And I'm like, okay, if they knock on the door, I'm just going to say, I have no idea what they're talking about. I didn't hear anything. And the next day, I'm like, what the hell? And she's like, what are you talking about? I said the blood-curdling scream. And then you're like, yeah, I'm cool, whatever. And she didn't remember any of it. None of it.
Well, at least she warned you, you know, I mean, not that it made it any better, but at least you kind of like had a little bit of, an inkling of what may occur. I think it'd be hilarious if she's like, and by the way, I levitate. Sometimes you may wake up.
That'd be kind of funny the next day and be like, you know, last night when you were levitating, like, what do? Do I wake you up when you're levitating?
Should we treat it like a David Copperfield special of the 90s? Should you get like a hula hoop out and like move it around you and through you just to prove that you're really levitating?
Oh my God, hell yeah. That's what you should do. You should video it.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
This should make a great YouTube video.
You could have some people say some really mean things about me.
That's the thing. That's what a millennial would do today. If some shit like that went down, it wouldn't be like, oh my God, freak out. It'd be like, oh shit, where's my camera?
You know? Exactly.
They would start narrating it and be like, what the fuck? Yeah. Yeah.
And I just happen to have a hula hoop. Look.
Exactly.
He's levitating.
Brought it just to, and it's flaming. So it's even more exciting.
And by this, I apologize to that person. I don't want them to think that I'm making fun of the story.
No,
I'm not.
No, not at all.
Because I would not want to be in that situation at all. But then, like, you kind of want to break up with that person a little bit, I would think.
You know,
but you don't want to break up with that person because you might really love them, but then you can't sleep.
You love. I mean, you love the person, but you gotta. It's gotta be difficult. I mean, that's why I said immediately, I don't know that I have any recommendations, because it's a very personal thing, and that's got to be very difficult to go through. And you know, sometimes, and people listeners to our show know we joke about stuff, and that's half the time you got to kind of make light of these things because it is so dark. But it's a rough place to be. I don't know what the answer is to it. I would say, you know, obviously rule out all the medical things as I would with most things, but it does sound like there's might be more going on here. So I don't have an answer. I don't think really many people do. It's a very personal decision. 855-853-4802 is our number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
My name is Melanie, and when I was married to my ex-husband, we lived in San Diego in my brother-in-law's house, and which he had purchased from a widow, and her husband had died not too long before that. And my brother-in-law worked in Ireland, so my ex-husband and I and our two children, we had the house to ourselves, and it was an older home. And in the hallway to where these bedrooms were, there was a light up on the top of the wall that required you to actually turn a switch. It wasn't like a switch with a wall plate. You had to actually turn the switch on the light itself. And it was way up at the top of the wall there, so my children couldn't have reached that. And shortly after we had moved in, we were in bed, and I woke up, and I'm looking at our bedroom door, and this figure of a man was standing there. And as I realized what I was looking at, this man started coming towards us like he was floating, and got to the edge of my bed and looked at me, kind of bent over a little bit and looked. And then by that point, I was wide awake and realized what I was seeing. And at that moment, he started just very slowly backing out of the bedroom and disappeared in the hallway. In the weeks following that, the lights in the bedroom were the kind of lights that you had to push in and turn to at the wall to turn them on. And I'd go to bed, we'd turn the lights off, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and my light would be on. Then I started noticing the hall light was on. And like I said, my children were little, so they couldn't have done that. And I kept asking my ex-husband if he had done that. He said no, but this would go on for, you know, weeks at a time. The lights would go on in my bedroom and then in the hallway. And then they started coming on in the kids' room. But I never felt threatened. Well, we mentioned this to my brother-in-law, and he had said that, and we didn't know that he had purchased the house from a widow at that point. But when we mentioned this to my brother-in-law, he explained to us that he had bought the house from this widow, and she was now in a nursing home. So my belief is that the husband who had died recently was looking for his wife, because that was their bedroom that they used to sleep in. After that, I never saw the man again, but we would leave to go visit my parents for the weekend in Orange County. And in this house, you had blinds that were the kind of blinds that were like a roll up. They weren't like slap blinds, but they were the kind that were like a roll up. So you would pull it down and then it would go up. And I had always pulled the blinds down, and I had turned certain lights on in the house before we'd leave. And inevitably we'd come home and the blinds would be up. The curtains, the cafe curtains, rod and all, would be neatly placed at the bottom of my windows in the living room and dining room area. In one instance, when we came home, that happened as well, but opposite lights that I had turned on, the opposite lights would be turned on, and the ones that I had turned on were off. But the most significant time was when all of those things that I just mentioned happened, but at the same time, all my furniture was in the center of the room, all my plants in the house that had been around the living room and dining room area were all now placed on my coffee table. And I can't rule out that somebody maybe broke into the house or had a key at some point and was playing a joke or something, but I don't believe so. The doors were all locked. There was no evidence of foul play or anything like that, but I don't have an explanation for that. The same, this all centers around my ex-husband's family, too, this type of activity. We grew up in Garden Grove, California, and that's where his parents were, as well as my parents. And he was in the Navy, and so he was gone, and I was staying with his family in Garden Grove. And I went to work, and I had come home to their house, and I opened the front door, and I went in the house. I went straight to the kitchen to get something to drink, and I could hear my sister-in-laws, two of them specifically, at the back of the house having a conversation. I could hear what they were talking about, and I got my drink, and I went down the hall fully expecting to see my sister-in-laws, and there was nobody home. And as I walked down the hall, the chatter got quiet, and like I said, there was nobody in the house. Another time, I was in the house alone, and I was coming down the hall, and this ball of light came out of a bedroom, and it was very aggressive and came after me. And in another instance, the front doorknob, I watched it being turned, but there was nobody on the other side. People that would come and stay the night at this house that had no knowledge of anything, because we didn't talk about it with people, would complain that they were being pulled by their feet or pushed around in the middle of the night. And I am a sensitive. I can feel things and sense things. And I could tell where all of these, I just call them things, just entities around the house. And I would point them out to my ex-husband where they were at. And they had brought in an exorcist, somebody from a friend of the family. And as I followed them around, they were pointing out every spot that I had pointed out except for one spot. So we finally realized that what was happening is the mother, my mother-in-law and one of my sister-in-laws had gone to a healing seminar at the Anaheim Stadium one year. This was back in the 70s. And they had put up a shrine, because we're Catholic, and they had put up a little shrine to the Virgin Mary, and they were praying on average 12 to 13 hours a day. And I'm convinced that they had, through this, had invited some negative energy into this house, and it was causing quite a commotion. In fact, we had to commit my mother-in-law for a three-day psychiatric bit because of her. She became violent and so on. But after we cleansed the house, things settled down a little bit, but things like this have continued to follow me throughout my my years. I still have doors shutting. It doesn't matter which house I'm in, I hear doors. My children hear them, because I'll ask them, did you just hear that? Did you just hear that? I don't say, did you hear that door? Did you just hear that? And they'll say, yeah, I heard the door. But nobody will be there opening a door or closing a door. And it's not a door from a like from upstairs or something. It's always my front door. I also have children, I believe, that follow me from house to house because I've moved a few times, and they run down the hall, and I can hear them running back and forth and up and down the stairs. And anyway, so that's my story this time. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for your show. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in and sharing that those experiences. There's a lot that went on in that story.
There was a lot. That's like, that house is like what scary movies are made out of.
Yeah.
They're all based around houses like that.
Yeah, just so much. And it almost, to me, sounds like there's some good that may be following her and some bad that may be following her. I mean, it's more so, I think, almost like kind of a magnet, or she's kind of a magnet for something on the other side, or things on the other side, and they both are gravitating to her.
Here's the thing. If I would have been telling that story, she was so calm telling it, I would be sounding like, and then, like she's just so calm. She's like, and there are children that are following me, and the doors keep shutting. Like,
yeah,
that could really drive a person crazy.
It could, and I think it's a matter of how you handle it, and not everyone can handle things the same
really
way.
Well.
She does. I mean, she's like a textbook case of here's how it can be handled, and without you going crazy with it. But you know, you are legitimately experiencing these things, but you know, it almost becomes, you know, part of life. I think at a certain point when it becomes that frequent and that common for you, that to the rest of us, again, it's almost like we were talking about earlier, where to the rest of us, a lot of it's like, oh, wow. But if this is every day to you,
yeah,
you know,
true.
I mean, when you lived in that house as a kid, now I know you weren't like telling everybody about what was going on at that moment in time, but to yourself, was it almost kind of like, this isn't so shocking. This is, you know, this is every day.
In a way, it was scary, though.
Sure.
I mean, it was scary every day. And so you don't want to live like that.
Yeah.
But I also knew other kids didn't live like that.
Yeah.
And so I did talk to enough of my friends, or my friends had experiences that happened in my house. It was like, great.
Yeah.
They're never going to come over again.
But was it, when they had experiences, did they believe you then because of those experiences?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They did. Because you know, when it happens to you, when you do experience something like that, like when she was telling about all the living room furniture being moved and all the plants are on the table, you know, like, that's not right. You walk in your house, that shouldn't be happening, stuff like that.
No.
And so when things like that happen to you, you know when it's not just, oh, I could debunk this.
Yeah.
You get that weird feeling with it too. Like, you just know. And there's something more that you can't see and you can't explain. And I've always wished I knew exactly. Like, we really have are theories as to what happens.
Sure.
But I've always wanted to know what happens and why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would she see this guy? Why would this person appear to her? You know, you want to know what happens on the other side.
You do. You do. And it's that's the thing. And it's where you have to be so cautious of jumping to conclusions, because it's almost like a magnifying glass over here where it's like, boom, here's what it must be. When it's like, well, let's take more of a telescope approach here and go way back and kind of really take a close look at everything to really try and figure this out. Because I think sometimes the answers are not as obvious as we think they're going to be, you know?
And I do really think, like, in her case, you know, there are people who can pick up on that sort of thing way easier than other people. People go through their lives and never have one experience.
Sure.
And then there are people like her.
Yep.
And there's just different levels on that spectrum, I think.
Yep. No, you're exactly right. I completely agree. It's a good story. Thank you for calling in and sharing all those experiences with us. We do greatly appreciate that. If you have a story, you can call it in, 855-853-4802. And if you like our program, keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. You get the Extra Podcast every single week, access to the bonus archive of shows, classic episodes, videos, and more. Go to ghostpodcast.com to do that. That's what keeps this thing afloat. All right, until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.